that.
It's so wrong of her to come on this podcast and be talking.
I don't believe so. Wow.
So stand up from the chair. Blow the arm up! Like, the thing is over! You ruined it!
In my opinion, as a sane person, I'm talking into the microphone.
Hi, guys. Hi, guys. Welcome to another episode of The Things You Can't Touch, a philosophy podcast where we touch on the deeper things of life. And today, the guest that I have beside me is, in fact, an individual who I really appreciate. Like, I really like the fact that she came onto this podcast, and I think she's going to eat up the answer. Her name is Tammy. I'm going to give you the floor to introduce yourself, drop all your Instagram handles so that they can follow you. I'm going to put on the screen and in the description.
Okay, so hi guys, my name's Tammy, but most people know me as T. I also do hair, so follow my page, it's T's Hair Parlor. And I also sell waist beads, so that's beads.ileke on Instagram as well.
Period. Guys, make sure you guys support her grind. It's very necessary. We love black businesses. Support them. The price doesn't matter. just go follow. I'll add everything on the screen, as I said before. But yeah, let's focus on the issue at hand, to me, as to why you're here. This is a philosophy podcast where we touch on the deeper things of life. And today we're going to touch on something that's not really necessarily deep, but, you know, it's there to, you know, play with your mind. Something. I think you'll like it. Anyway, cool. Because obviously you don't know the question. I'm going to ask you the question. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Your question is, to me, what is the root of all evil?
Interesting.
You can take it from any angle whatsoever, because, like, there's a couple of things that we're actually going to touch on. I can give you, like, a overview. Actually, no, I want to hear what you have to say first of all.
I think the first thing that will instantly come to mind when you say what's the root of all evil is the scripture that says the love of money is the root of all evil.
Absolutely. I write that down. I had a feeling you were going to. You can just expand. Do you agree with the Bible?
Expand. Or? Well, do I agree with the Bible? Yes.
That's a strange way to put it.
But I believe that, okay, let's put it this way. The love of money is the root of all evil. Mm-hmm. But does that mean that the love of money is the only root of all evil?
Okay, so for you, in my opinion, more than one root of evil.
I believe that there can be more than one root of evil, potentially. However, now that I'm tracing my steps back, it could be the love of money that actually creates all these other roots.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. I like that. Because I actually never thought about it like that. In my head, because I'm very, like, there's obviously objectivism and subjectivism in philosophy. You did psychology.
I did.
So I don't know if it's the same or similar. But objectivism is usually going to say that there's one.
Mm-hmm.
But subjectivism is going to take that kind of route. And for me, I think it's one thing. I'm not going to say what I think it is yet, because we're going to get there soon. But yeah, 1 Timothy 6:10 does say that the love of money is the root of all evil.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I understand why they would say that. But first of all, I think before we can actually unpack such a statement, we need to understand what is evil. That's what Socrates likes to do. He used to ask what is F questions to understand the definition of something. Not necessarily like the book definition, but the philosophical definition of a word. So for you, what is evil?
What a beautiful question. What is evil? I think there are so many things that fall under the category of evil. As you said, you've got objectivism and subjectivism. I believe that evil is very subjective.
Okay.
Depending on...
We're going to have problems, to me. I hate subjectivity. And I've said this in too many episodes thus far. I hate subjectivity, but please go for it.
The reason why I believe evil, quote unquote, is subjective is because, let's say you're a person that's in the Western world.
Yeah.
And let's say you're a person that lives, I don't know, elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, not
in the West.
Yeah, not in the West.
Non-European.
Yeah.
In fact, no, I can't say that because is America in the West?
Yeah.
So I can't say that.
Just in fact, let's just scrap the West.
Okay,
yeah, let's just say you're a person that lives in a very, let's say, comfortable, wealthy household.
Mm-hmm.
And compared to somebody that doesn't live in a wealthy, comfortable household.
Yeah.
Cool. And this person, let's say, is very much poverty stricken.
Yes, I love that word.
So,
that phrase. I don't know why.
So this individual who's poverty stricken is likely to steal to survive.
Yeah.
Is likely to potentially harm other people, maybe all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Now, the question that you would ask yourself is, would this individual think that what they're doing is evil, or would they believe that they're doing what they're doing to survive?
Yeah.
And then you look at the wealthy individual, and if the wealthy individual was to perform these same actions, it would likely be two different things.
Yeah.
So that's why I personally believe that evil, quote unquote, is subjective, because that definition can't be used necessarily for every single person.
To me, I enjoyed the answer. I'm gonna be real, because usually when it comes to subjectivity, I'm so adamant that yeah, no. But this answer is making a lot of sense. I'm just gonna repeat it just so that I can really grasp the concept in my head. So it's like, the concept of evil, or what is evil, is subjective, because depending on who's doing it and for what reasons, it is evil or not. Sorry, it was much in my head. But then again, no. Because I feel like specific actions within them, but then again, it's like, I was going to say are bad, but is evil the same thing as bad? Does evil have to be bad? Assuming evil is bad, I believe that specific actions are just inherently wrong.
I have a question for you.
Please ask me.
Cool. So with this evil and bad thing,
yeah.
Do you think bad constitutes of just actions, the actions that you do are bad, and evil is the intent behind the actions, or do you think these are two different things?
To me, that was a beautiful question. And I think you kind of led me to the answer. You led me to what you want me to say.
Yes,
I think something I think something bad is the feeling or the results, but something being evil, I think it's the intent rather than the result or the outcome. So that's where, yeah, you answered my question by asking me a question. I love that. She got me shaking up. So that's where we draw the distinction between bad and evil. So yeah, you're currently leaning me towards your side. So yeah, evil is, I guess, subjective. But then again, I wanted to ask, is evil subjective or is it relative? But is subjectivity not relativity?
Is subjectivity not relativity? I believe that subjectivity is, in a sense, relativity, because for something to be subjective, not objective, it means there's a sort of benchmark.
Comparability.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That you would compare that objectivity to. Yeah. And once it strays from that benchmark, it becomes subjective. And it straying from that benchmark means there's a relationship to that benchmark, which is what makes that relativity.
Yeah, I love philosophy, man. To me, I'm really enjoying your answer. But I guess, like, we still haven't necessarily defined evil. We've just spoken about what we think it is, but there isn't necessarily like a definition that we've given. Do you want to give your own definition, or should we ask what Google thinks?
I think we should ask what Google thinks.
Thank you. That was so speedy and so quick of you. Thank you so very much.
Evil is defined as, there's an adjective and noun definition. Okay. So adjective is profoundly immoral and wicked. And then the noun is profound immorality and wickedness, especially when regarded as a supernatural force.
Okay. The thing that stood out to me in that is that it focused on morality.
That's exactly the same thing as me.
Or on the right line. I love that. The thing that I wanted to emphasize here is that I think evil in my head could be anything that's bad, but we have distinguished that evil and bad are not the same. They're not interchangeable. They're different. One is about the consequences and one is about the intent. Cool. So with that, evil is, like, as I said, wickedness and immorality. Do you agree with that definition?
I do agree with that definition. Oxford?
Should be Oxford. Yeah. Cool. So that means for the rest of this video, we can, like, talk about it based on that definition of evil. Cool. This episode is inspired by the problem of evil. I don't know if you've heard of it.
No.
The problem of evil is an argument against the existence of the Abrahamic God. So I don't want to get into the problem of evil too much, because that's actually a debate for another day. But the problem of evil was spearheaded by some guy called William Rowe. Lisbeth, William Rowe.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I just had to clarify whether, yeah, cool. Yes, it was spearheaded by William Rowe, and he basically divided it, or it has been divided into two different types. There's a logical problem of evil, which talks about the qualities of God, and the evidential problem of evil. And today we're mostly going to focus on the evidential problem of evil, which is that the evil that we see in the world. So within the evidential problem of evil are another two categories, which is moral evil and natural evil. We're going to start with talking about natural evil. So natural evil is referring to like natural disasters. And it's like, when we start relating that to our definition, there's a bit of a question mark. Because how is a natural disaster immoral? Do you see the problem?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, natural disasters and like, for example, how animals are treated. One of the examples that we had in RS A-level, thank you. RS A-level was the case of Bambi. Bambi was, I don't know, what animal is Bambi in the story?
More like the deer.
A deer, thank you. Bambi was a deer that was caught in a, not Bambi. I don't know the story of Bambi, but in the case study, Bambi was a deer that was caught in a wildfire. Like the deer died very slowly though. Like the deer didn't just die like, and then the deer went through a lot of pain before it died as a result of a wildfire. And it's like, what is the cause of that? What's the cause of natural evil? Because the cause of natural evil, I think, is going to be different to the cause of moral evil. Do you want me to give you the definition of moral evil now? Or is
after.
It? Okay, cool. So yeah.
Can you repeat your question?
I can, in fact, because I've forgotten myself. I guess I'm just asking, yeah, what's the cause of natural evil, like earthquakes, natural disasters, animals dying, and things of that nature?
Okay. I believe that the cause of natural evil is quite literally the fact that it's natural. Mm-hmm. So it's very much bound to happen. If we look at a sort of scientific explanation of the earth and the world, and you look at things like geography and all of that stuff, I'm not really well versed in, you know, and science and geography, but in my, I guess, understanding of it,
yeah,
these things are very much bound to happen anyways. Yeah. When you learn geography in, this is secondary school knowledge, I think you have things like tectonic plates and then,
I know about them,
you know, all of that stuff. So all of this, like natural disasters such as earthquakes and all of that stuff, is bound to happen because of sort of the structure of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
The term natural evil, then, I believe, is talking about the consequence of these natural disasters.
Mm.
I think natural disasters in itself might not be too bad.
Yeah.
But the consequences of these natural disasters is what people now class as evil.
Because the result, like, is evil for like the deer to die in such
there
a way.
We go. Okay. But then when you look at the definition of evil and you see that evil is something that's immoral or wicked, then it's like, is it natural bad because of the actions and the consequences as opposed to natural evil because of the lack of immorality? Because something that's naturally occurring can't necessarily be immoral.
To me, I enjoyed the answer.
Thanks.
I'm really enjoying it. It's just like, your answers are just so clear cut. It's like, how am I, because sometimes I like to interrogate the person sitting on the other side. But it's like, you've basically interrogated me back. Like, I just, you know, you've used the words English. You've just made it so clear. But yeah, I just feel like we're going around rather than landing on, because still the question remains, what is the cause of this evil? But then you did say that it's just bound to happen. But why is that, when assuming everyone believes in God, it's supposed to be benevolent? And like, are we supposed to go through things like this? Because even humans, we suffer from natural disasters.
Yeah.
So it's like, what's the cause? Is it because we don't understand God's intentions?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's a good thing in disguise, but we just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, what's the reason? Where does it come from?
Personally, I think there are more than one reason.
Praise him, English.
I don't believe it's solely one thing in particular. I think if we were to take it back to a biblical standpoint, as you said, if we all sort of believe in God, I believe the first ever natural disaster that was spoken about was the flood.
Yes.
With Noah.
Yes.
And that was as a result of sort of sin.
Yes.
It was as a result of that.
That is going to lead me on to the second point. And I feel like if you had the second part, you'll be able to finish what you want to say.
Go on.
I'm going to give you the second part, which is moral evil. Moral evil is more about our behavior and like our attitude towards other people and basically like immorality, us mm-hmm. being bad. So it's like, as you're talking about natural evil coming after sin, it's like natural evil came as a result of moral evil.
Mm-hmm.
Like, does that make sense? Yeah. I don't know if that's where you wanted to go, but like, that's where you took me
yeah,
to go.
That's
but yeah, moral evil. I can give you another case study. The case of Sue is a really sad, a sad story. But this is a young girl. I think she was about 5. She was, I'm just going to make like shorten it and not do the whole story. She was basically abused. Like, she was beaten and raped by a stepfather figure. And she died painfully and slowly. And it's like, this is an innocent baby. She hasn't done anything to anyone, hopefully, at the age of 5. She's very innocent, and she had to go through this moral, like, this immoral, wicked suffering. And it's like, what's the cause of that as well? Where does it come from? What is the root of that type of evil?
Okay. So, before I answer that question, mm-hmm. I think I'm going to go back to the previous question Absolutely. About natural evil. And I think, again, when I said that there is more than one cause,
mm-hmm.
I do believe that moral evil could potentially be a cause, as we have seen in, you know, in the Bible, in the scriptures. But I, again, don't believe that that's the sole cause.
Mm.
I believe that, yes, we do have a benevolent God, mm-hmm. of course. And, you know, God did create the heavens and the earth and all of the stuff, beautiful stuff within it. And in my opinion, and from what I've sort of read and gathered from the Bible, I think prior to the sin, the one sin of, you know, Adam and Eve eating the fruit,
yeah,
Eden was Eden. Yeah. The garden the Garden of Eden
yeah.
was, you know,
perfect.
The place, absolutely yeah. perfect. There was no talk of natural disasters, no
yeah.
talk of anything like that
yeah.
until afterwards. And I think that's when natural disasters became natural, as in mm-hmm. naturally occurring, because mm-hmm. now this sort of perfect world
has been
is
fractured.
No longer perfect. Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's no longer perfect. That. So natural disasters and things as such mm-hmm. are now sort of inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just a sort of, when will it happen
mm-hmm.
rather than will it happen
yeah.
because of that original break from mm-hmm. the perfection, which was in a sense
that gushed in yeah. the beginning. That's beautiful, actually. So based on everything that you said, natural evil comes from moral evil, which comes from biblical explanation.
Yeah.
Love that. Love the linear connection. Because I've asked here, is evil badness? Is evil objective? We've touched on those two. You've answered that beautifully, by the way. And finally, the question I wanted to ask that we kind of spoke about was, is evil, like our understanding of evil, wrong? Because I feel like evil is something, because I believe, again, naturalism, objectivity, I believe there's a right and wrong that is, like, God established right and wrong, or whatever, whoever, at a point of whatever, established right and wrong. Do you think that our understanding of it is just skewed because we're fallible human beings, we just don't know? Do you think like what we understand evil as is not actually evil but something else?
That's a very interesting question. I think to sort of answer your question, I'd like to touch on the previous example that you spoke
mm-hmm.
on, the moral evil. I think her name was Sue.
Yes. Wow. Beautiful memory.
So the man in this case,
yeah.
the perpetrator, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he had an understanding of evil.
Yeah.
But still sort of went ahead with it
mm-hmm.
and carried on.
Yeah.
And I think that's where you sort of get the definition of evil
yeah.
per person, because some people may see something as evil and still carry on, meaning do they actually think it's evil?
Yeah.
Because in my opinion, as a sane person, when you
I love that.
when you have a moral compass
yeah.
and a perception of mm. something that is right and wrong,
mm-hmm.
you are likely to stray away from that wrongness and more towards the rightness.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's a sort of spectrum, and
yeah.
it's like, how wrong is wrong? How wrong can you get for
yeah.
it to be really wrong?
Yeah.
And how right can you get for it to be really right?
Yeah.
But people tend to just sort of skew along there because there is no defined term difference, for evil.
It's blending together because it is a spectrum.
Exactly.
That's beautiful. Once again.
So, like, in terms of, like, as rational people, you shouldn't want to do evil based on, like, the way God made us. Mm-hmm. You feel like evil is therefore, like, incompatible with human nature, like, in its most natural form.
Okay, that's a beautiful question. Thank you. I think evil is very much compatible with human nature.
Okay.
I think evil is very much compatible with human nature, mm-hmm. but that's human, as in fleshly nature.
Yeah.
So, again, I'm coming from a Christian standpoint.
And that is so fine.
In the Bible, it always says, you know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Yes.
And that's because the flesh always wants this evil that we see. The flesh. So I did psychology, as you've previously stated.
Yeah.
And there's something called the id, the ego, and the superego.
Freud.
You might know
exactly. I know about that.
There we go. And the id in this case can be seen as the devil on your shoulder.
Yeah.
And the superego, the angel on your shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And your flesh wants that instant gratification,
yes.
which is what the id wants. Absolutely. The devil on your shoulder wants that instant gratification.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the superego is that sort of moral compass that you've, according to Freud, developed with, you know, relationship with your same-sex parents.
Yeah.
But in our case, angel on your shoulder, it's coming from your relationship with God, the Bible and all of that stuff.
Yes.
So now here comes the question, right? The superego or the angel on your shoulder is giving God, that's the spirit, the spiritual side.
Yeah.
Whereas the id
is
giving the flesh.
Is
so I think the flesh is very much compatible with sin.
Yes.
The flesh wants to sin all the time.
Yes.
It's like, let's say you have a credit card, right?
Yeah.
You go to the shop, you see something's expensive, but you really want it. What are you going to do? You're going to tap that credit card. You
Absolutely.
Know you shouldn't. You're going to tap that credit card. You're going to tap the credit card.
Yeah.
But then at the end of it, it's now you that's going to have to deal with that large amount of debt.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the...
You just shied at a lot of people.
And that's just sort of the same thing with the id and the superego, or the flesh and the spirit, because at the end of the day, the flesh is very temporary.
Mm.
That tapping of the card is very temporary. You're just going to quickly get that instant gratification.
Mm-hmm.
But it's then going to be the spirit that's going to have to deal with that at the end. So, yeah, I hope that answers the question.
I even forgot the question, but I'm just glad you spoke. Like, I'm just glad you said what you said. Like, it's so relevant and it's very interesting. Like, I just wanted to add a different, like, angle to what you said.
Mm-hmm.
Aquinas is a theologian. Aquinas is a guy. and he spoke about the synderesis principle. I didn't even say the word right. Synderesis principle, which was basically that humans are inclined to do good, but things like, what was the word that he used? There's a specific thing that he said causes us to lean towards doing the bad thing simply because, as you said, the flesh is weak. Like we easily fall into temptation.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just wanted to add that. Why? I don't know. It's a philosophy podcast. I just wanted to educate the people there. Thank you for answering that question. We can absolutely move on.
Mm.
Back to, because we've done a lot of talking about evil, like in and of itself. But the question is money the root of all evil? So I guess what I wanted to say is money the root of all evil, or is the use of money and how people behave with money what the root of all evil is?
Okay, thank you.
She thanked me.
1 Timothy 6:10?
Yes.
Right. So I think the main problem that people tend to have with that scripture is when they read it, they don't read it.
Mm.
So they quickly breeze over it and form an assumption, which is incorrect.
Okay.
And that assumption is that money is the root of all evil.
Yeah.
But the scripture says the love of money is the root of all evil.
Yeah.
And I think that makes a lot of sense.
And it makes a lot of difference.
It makes a lot of difference.
As well. Yeah.
Absolutely. So when people do say that money is the root of all evil, then it's like, oh, then why would you go to work? Then why would you do this? Then why would you do that? Why would you strive in life?
Make money. If it's
but,
so evil.
Exactly. Mm. But as we can see, it's not money that's the root. It's the love of money. And then the next question comes, how would you describe the love of money? What is the definition of the love of money? That's the next question that you would ask.
I'm genuinely enjoying, like, every single angle that you're taking right now. I'm genuinely enjoying it. I stopped talking though. Please continue.
In my opinion, the love of money, again, I think is subjective.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really like subjectivism.
I don't, but that's fine.
But I do believe that it's subjective because from whichever angle you look at, I think you need to look at the intent behind it.
Okay.
So somebody you could see to always be striving, working hard day in, day out, day in, day out, and you would think, damn, they love money so much.
Yeah.
But it could be they're trying to work for their family and stuff like that.
Maybe they love their family so much.
Exactly.
But in order to achieve, thank you.
There you go.
Money's just a means to the end.
And
the end in and of itself.
You could then take the example that I gave before where it was the person that's poverty stricken,
mm-hmm.
that's stealing to survive, you know, doing this to survive. Mm-hmm. But actually, maybe they don't need to steal to survive.
Mm.
Maybe it's because they just love to do that, and it's because they love the money that they receive because of that.
Yeah.
So then you could say, right, so which one of them actually loves money?
Mm.
You can't necessarily answer that question.
Yeah, you can't see what's in people's
because
hearts.
You can't see it.
Yeah.
So I think the love of money is a question that an individual should ask themselves
yeah.
when they have that sort
it's of... Between you and your God.
Absolutely.
She shied at you guys.
Absolutely. So when people... Let me not ask. When people...
No,
like, you know, all these like... Mm. You know, just want the quick money. Like, that is, in a sense,
yeah,
a love of money.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I have spoken to some people because I like to see the reasons behind why people do things.
Mm.
There are some people that have told me, you know, my family's struggling.
Yeah.
This is the best way that I know that
make
I can help them.
Fast.
All of that stuff.
Yeah.
However, there are other people that their intentions behind it very different.
Mm.
So it's an individual question
mm.
to ask yourself,
mm.
do I love money?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the next question is, when it says the love of money, is it in comparison to something else, which in this instance would be God?
Yeah.
So is it the love of money in comparison to your love of God is the root of all evil? If you hold money higher than you hold God,
mm-hmm.
it's inevitable for your life to sort of go down that path of evil, you
yeah.
know, the greed, the stealing, yeah. the killing.
Thank you for saying that word. We're going to yeah. unpack it in a minute, but please continue, or are you done?
Yeah, I think that's the answer.
Cool. Timmy, blow me away. Like, not that I expected any less, but damn. But yeah, I think the key word of this episode is, in fact, intent.
Mm.
It all comes down to intention, and that's where the subjectivity, like, comes from.
Mm.
That's where the relativity derives from. And, you know, at this point, I'm just repeating what you said. So I'm just going to move on. There are other things that people have said is the root of all evil. That being greed. You mentioned it. So
yeah.
is greed the root of all evil? That doesn't necessarily have to be money, because you can be greedy in wanting other things like attention.
Mm-hmm.
You can be greedy in wanting fame, clout,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. So is greed the root of all evil? Because let's think about the evil that we're actually seeing in the world. Things like the government is doing. People are suffering out here. You know, cost of living cries. If not for the way money works within this economy. My good sis, economist.
Hello.
Guys, she actually studies economics. As I said, economy. You know, she studies economics. Intelligent babes coming on this podcast, guys. Get your daily dose. But yeah, as you can see, the way the world is working is like, is it really money, as we said, is the use of it? And does that use lead us back to greed?
Okay, thank you.
She thanks me.
So, greed. You said greed doesn't always have to come in the form of greed with money.
Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely agree with that.
Thank you.
I think greed can obviously come with so many things. You have things like gluttony.
Mm-hmm.
You have people that are just, you know, greedy. That, you know, for example, they want loads of women or they want loads of men. That, in a sense, is greedy.
Or is that lust? Or is it the same thing?
You see, they do sort of lead to each other, in a sense.
Yeah.
But what I did want to say is, they are all connected in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I'm going back to psychology.
Mm-mm.
There's a thing with phobias where if you have a phobia,
yes,
you're likely to express a sort of symptom. For
yeah.
example, let's say you have a phobia of a spider. Mm-hmm. Let's say I have a phobia of a spider and I see a spider on there, mm-hmm. I will scream.
Okay.
I have a phobia. My symptom, or, you know, the way that I'm going
your
to share
outward expression.
Cool. It's scream. Scream. Okay. Thank That's you. It. I'm screaming.
Yeah.
Now the phobia is sort of treated, mm-hmm. but it's not actually treated. They haven't gotten to the root of the phobia. Mm-hmm. So the next time I see a spider, because it's treated, I'm not going to scream, but what am I going to do? I'm going to start shaking.
Mm.
So where I'm trying to get with this is that greed for money might not be the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It might be greed with food. And then that transfers into something else.
The different symptoms.
And then it transfers into something else.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden you now get money.
Yeah.
Because when you're greedy with food, for example, when that's the basis, it's like, cool, you want more food.
Yeah. And the means to get in all these things that you want ultimately in this climate
is the money. Now it could be a thing where you were initially greedy with food.
Yeah.
But now it's sort of substituted.
Yeah.
It's not food anymore.
Yeah.
It's now money.
You ate that.
So sometimes it's not even just money. It would be, it's not food anymore. It's now women. But then to get these women, what are you going to want? Money.
I have something to say.
Please say it.
It might be so long and dragged on, but...
The subtitles are going to be crazy on this one.
It's reminding me of what you spoke about is, with Michael, we spoke about, does money make the world go round?
Yeah. Guys, if you haven't touched on that episode, go and click on it. Thank you.
Right now.
As you were.
But if you think about like the world in like the biblical sense, in that like, how can I describe it in a biblical sense? The world is like, it's not like the devil's playground, but it's like, you know, just flesh.
Yeah.
Go and you get it. The only thing is, I can't explain it right now. But it's like, if money is the thing that keeps the world going round, it makes sense that it's the root of all evil.
Yeah.
Because the world, not that it doesn't reflect God, but the world is now, it's like, it's not distant from God, but after the original sin, it's no longer Eden, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So all the evil in the world is kind of governed by money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your greed for, like, what Timmy was saying, your greed for women, for food, for et cetera, et cetera, will eventually lead you to money, because, like, money makes the world go around. It's like, money governs the world in a way.
But what I kind of realised from what you were saying just now is that that means that money then isn't necessarily the root of all evil. As you said, the love of money, which is something that we get skewed, so the way money is used, but then that love, so can we now say love is the root of all evil?
No.
Okay.
I think that's the short and simple would be no.
Yes.
However, I can elaborate on that.
Please do.
So the reason in which I believe that love is not the root of evil is because you can show love in so many different ways.
That's not evil.
For example, Jesus dying for our sins. Again, coming from a Christian perspective, of course. That is the utmost love that you can show. And that love is, the definition of that love is, it might as well be purely the absence of evil. Because
to me, get out of my face right now. Because I was about to touch on the, to stand up from the chair. Close your arm! Like, the thing is over! You ruined me! As you were, continue. I even forgot what you were saying.
Right, so the example of Jesus dying for our sins, some could explain that or describe that to be the complete absence of evil. For someone to lay their life down for people that, one, didn't receive him, didn't know him, didn't love him. They were actively trying to catch him kill him.
Yeah.
But he still died for them.
Mm-hmm.
And when he died, he said,
Father, forgive them.
Thank you so
they
much.
They know not what they are doing. Thank
Listen.
You.
Listen.
Thank you.
I believe that love in itself is not evil. I believe that some people, amazing. I believe, sorry, I just got an idea. I feel that some people have a misconception of what love is.
Yeah.
And that misconception can create evil.
Evil. Because they take it out of context and they use it in ways that are
absolutely
not actually loving.
Absolutely.
Love that.
So, for example, there are, you know, some cases of, let's say, domestic abuse, where the man in most cases of domestic abuse, not all cases,
yes,
but okay, where the man will, you know, beat the woman or be overly overly protective of the woman and things as such, but would do that under the guise of it's because love. I love you. But that definition of love is an skewed, incorrect definition. Exactly. Wow. Very skewed. So in situations like that, it's not love that's the problem, because I guess the woman in that sense would be like, well, if this is love, then love is evil. Mm-hmm. But that isn't love.
And that's not love. To me. What do I even have to say? You ain't the answer. Yeah, damn. You cheated and then you started talking about what I was going to talk about. Like, I forgot to tell you what I think the root of all evil is.
What do you think the root of all evil is?
Should I go there first?
Yes.
I think... personally, yeah, like, I personally think the root of all evil is ignorance.
Love it.
Simply because I feel like, as you said, like, there's different roots of evil. I didn't agree, because I think everything comes from ignorance, because ignorance is the reason why people say that love is something when love is not that thing. Mm-hmm. Ignorance is the reason why people use money in the way that they use it, because they don't know the right way to use it. Mm-hmm. Ignorance is the reason why we have things like racism, sexism, homophobicness.
Homophobia.
Thank you. Cutting that out. We have things like that as a result of people's ignorance. And as a result of their ignorance, their actions now reflect their beliefs, which now results in evil. Stuff like climate change. People are ignorantly believing it does not exist, which is why we are in the situation that we're in right now. Greta Thunberg has been telling you for a long time, and y'all been airing her. Is it good?
Sorry.
Sorry. But yeah, that's why I believe personally that ignorance is the root of all evil rather than money. Do you agree or are you going to argue?
I do agree.
Okay.
I think you can agree for more than one thing.
Okay.
I definitely do agree. I think you have to see sort of which one's the umbrella term.
Mm-hmm.
Is ignorance the one that sort of covers everything else, or is the love of money the thing that covers everything else, in the sense of, does the love of money create ignorance, or does ignorance create that love of money? I do believe that there will be one root cause. It's just which one is it? I therefore think it's a correlation rather than a causation in that aspect. So
guys, did you hear her use words? Did you hear those words right now? Sorry, as you were educated.
So so I already said that I agree with you, and I think that's because we've all heard of the phrase ignorance is bliss.
Yes.
Blissful ignorance. Yes. And I think it's that bliss that creates the problem, because with that ignorance, the fact that it's blissful, you are very much now choosing to remain ignorant and choosing to sort of dive deeper into this
realm of ignorance.
Honestly.
Yes.
And that's it. It just ends up being a sort of spiral, which is then what leads to all of these problems. Like, for example, global warming, as you said, climate change. So ignorance could have been a thing initially. And then after all the education, you could have been like, damn, I was ignorant. But now I'm a learner, now I'm a change. But instead you're like, I was ignorant, but this ignorance is nice.
So I'm going to remain ignorant. I'm going to remain... Well, thank you.
So I think... yeah, I think that is why I agree with you.
Yeah. But still, as much as you agree with me, there's still a question mark in that. It's either ignorance that causes the love of money, or is the love of money that causes ignorance, which is like a conversation that we can have right now if you like. But it's like, are we ever going to find the answer?
We are not ever going to find the answer.
Because I think it can be debated both ways.
It very much can be debated both ways.
Right.
So it's, there is an umbrella term, but which one is the cause is the question.
That's why we can
leave it. Maybe there's a third factor.
Who knows? Literally, we can leave it on the table. We can leave it on the TTYCT table. That's what I call this.
TTY. Oh,
thank you. The things you can't touch. Table. Thank you. Cool. Still two more things that we're going to touch on. Is... I don't know why I like asking questions like this. I always want to know what the opposite of something is. I don't know why. So is the opposite of... yeah, is the opposite of evil empathy?
I don't believe so.
Wow.
So I think that's the direct answer.
Okay.
I don't believe the opposite of evil is empathy.
Mm.
The main reason for that is with opposites.
Yeah.
Again, going back to psychology as an explanation for this. So I will go back to phobias because that just seems to really relate to this.
As you should.
So when dealing with a phobia, you can do, you know, loads of many different ways to treat the phobia.
Mm.
And there's this one, I believe it's called counter conditioning. Someone correct me if I'm wrong, but from A-level, a long time ago now.
Educate the people.
I believe this is counter conditioning.
Yeah.
And this is just basically when you replace one emotion with the opposite emotion. So when we have, let's say, that example of the spider, and I experience anxiety when I see the spider, there's a sort of range of steps that you can take that will allow you, you know, things like breathing exercises and all that stuff. So the next time you see a spider, you feel the feeling of relaxation. Because, and then that sort of gets rid of that symptom, which is that anxiety that you feel, because you cannot feel relaxation and anxiety at the same time. That's when you now talk about the two opposites. But the reason why I disagree that empathy is the opposite of evil is because people that are evil or that do evil things, I believe they can still feel empathy.
At the same time.
But so they very much still, you know, go ahead and do the evil things at the same time.
Wow.
So therefore it can't be the opposite of evil.
So what would you say the opposite of evil is?
The opposite of evil is, unfortunately, again, subjective. I think this is very subjective because what a person's intentions, as we have seen, were actually moral. I think that's the definition that we're going by with evil, moral. Yeah. And for a thing to be moral, it is subjective because this, you know, sort of unwritten rule is sort of, it differs from, you know, society to society or from religion to religion and things like that.
So we did touch on this in episode number 5. Go and check it out. What is good and what is bad? Thank you, Rude. Spoke about morality. Sorry, as you were.
So, because it's sort of subjective in that aspect, what the opposite of that morality is therefore now subjective to therefore get the answer for what is the opposite of evil. So the opposite of evil just changes and it depends based on the different regions that you're located in, your culture, your family, all of that stuff.
To me, I love it. I love that. Like, simply, I really like your answers.
Thank you.
Maybe it's because I agree with them. But you make it very easy for someone to agree with you. Like, your explanations are beautiful. The final thing that you spoke about before, no one asked you. You want to be so over that is. But Saint Augustine, within this realm of the problem of evil, which we're not going to talk about too tough because that's not the focus, but Saint Augustine spoke about, because a theodicy is a defense for God against the problem of evil. So within Saint Augustine's theodicy, he spoke about privatio boni, which is what you're speaking about. I'm going to elaborate. He said evil does not exist, but the absence of evil. No, the absence of good does. Evil is not the same as the absence of good for him. So he says what exists is the privation of boni, the privation of good. Do you agree with him? Or do you think he was like dodging and diving? Like, do you think he just avoided the issue?
I don't believe him. I believe he may not have intended to, he may not have intended to dodge the question, but
he did.
Sort of.
Yeah.
I think I like the thought process.
He tried. It's the thought that counts.
Because in my opinion, for us to, so God created humans and he also created angels. Free will.
Yes. And the fact that you're saying this is exactly what he said.
Wow.
As you were.
And I believe that with free will, we therefore have the choice between potentially, now we have two different definitions, but good and bad or good and evil. So, but we can use these as synonyms for the sake of this explanation.
Okay.
And to have the choice out of good and bad, you cannot have the absence of good.
I'm going to have to conceptualize that in my head. To have that choice between good and bad, you cannot have the absence you ate.
So you can't have the absence of one good. Of
them. Yeah. To have, yeah.
So I believe that...
It's wrong! It's so wrong of her to come on this podcast and be talking and spitting so many bars. I'm confused.
Yeah, so to have a choice out of good and bad or good and evil, you mm-hmm. cannot have the absence of good mm-hmm. or the absence of evil. Mm-hmm. If you have the absence of one, then that means you are entirely inclined to the other. Mm-hmm. Because when you, again, if you look at it as a spectrum, good on this side and mm-hmm. even on this side, mm-hmm. if there is no good, then the spectrum will just always be tilted towards evil.
Yes.
So I believe
there has to be the two.
Yeah, there has to be the two. Yeah. Evil does exist.
Yeah.
Good does exist.
Yeah.
But the question is, which one will the person pick?
Yeah. So Augustine, wherever you are, to be careful, you're there. She said you didn't eat. She said you stopped. She said your fury didn't bang. She said try again. and that's beautiful. I genuinely enjoyed that conversation.
Anything to ask you?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is your definition of evil? You did, I think, previously explain, but what is...
What is my definition of evil? Damn.
This is the initial question.
I'm not the guest. I'm the host. But yeah, like, cause these things, I actually need to think about them. What do I think evil is? I think evil... Because initially, I thought Augustine ate. I thought, yeah, evil is the absence of things that are not good. But then again, what is the absence of things that are not good?
Mm.
And I think evil, again, yes, in terms of morality, is a moral thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then I do think that it can be something that's not necessarily moral. So I think... I want to give a definition, but I just keep talking about things that are not relevant. I think evil is about, as we said, the consequences of actions, the consequences of attitudes, and the consequences of beliefs, ideologies, interactions. I think evil doesn't necessarily have to be what is in the book, good and bad. I think it can actually be something that people display all the time.
Okay. So based off of what you said,
mm-hmm.
you said what's in the book,
mm.
good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
So that means you don't believe that life is black and white.
And I don't.
You don't, or you do?
I like objectivity.
Objectivity. So that you believe that life is black and white. There yeah. is a clearly defined part of yeah. good and a clearly defined part of bad.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Do you not think that the experiences that each individual has can sort of, you know, change that, you know, those definitions?
Or
do you think that yeah. those definitions will regardless just stay as rigid as they are?
Yes.
Interesting.
Because, like I say this all the time, I think here on Earth, subjectivity is unavoidable, it's mm. inevitable. We are always going to be subjective. That's because our minds are limited and mm. we are limited as human beings. So there's always going to be an argument as to what is right and what is wrong. Some things seem very objectively wrong. Like people, I think a lot of people across the globe are going to agree that murder is bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good to kill people. Yeah. But then there are different things that now become more in the middle of the spectrum that mm-hmm. begin to overlap, that people begin to argue about whether is this good or is this bad. And people provide good arguments on both sides as to whether it's good and whether it's bad. And I understand that. That's just human nature. That's us. That's like, we are not going to be able to understand the truth. But in my head, there's an objective truth that I know I'm not going to understand now, but I know it exists. So that's the view of naturalism. It's another philosophical ideology, which is that there's an objective truth, there's an objective good, there's an objective bad that exists outside of human existence. So if humans didn't exist, good and bad will still exist.
Mm.
I think there are things that are set in stone, things that are set in time that are objectively good and bad. That's why I think actions are objectively good and bad. We just don't know which ones, because we can justify them being good, we can justify them being bad. By the end of time, when everything's over, hopefully by the grace of God, we find ourselves in heaven, you know,
Amen.
By the Father, we'll ask God, and God is going to tell us, yeah, by the way, things like this were bad and things like that were good. And yeah, that's just because, like, on earth now, I can't tell you what's objectively good and bad, but I believe that there's an objective good and bad. Thank you.
That was, see, this is why this is your podcast.
It was, yeah, it was
that much. That was such a beautiful explanation.
Really?
I'm flattered. Liked the part that you spoke about the existence, because the existence of something, mm-hmm. the fact that this objective good and bad exists, but mm-hmm. the fact that we cannot sort of fathom it mm-hmm. doesn't mean that it doesn't exist anyways. Yes. So it's just humans yeah. that try to justify their yeah. actions
in the ways that they know best.
And to make themselves feel better.
Yeah. And that's another thing.
Wow.
The way you, I love the inspiration that's actually coming to you. Like, it's actually beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. But yeah, that's another thing that people talk about, whether if nobody's there to see that the tree fall, did the tree actually fall? The answer is yes. Just because we didn't see the tree fall, it doesn't mean that the tree didn't fall. Mm. Just because we don't see the truth doesn't mean that there isn't an objective one. That's why I hate subjectivity so much, but I do accept the fact that we're just going to have to affirm it. The world is subjective. Thank you. Guys, like, there is not much more to say. Just, I hope you enjoyed this video. I did, personally. So whether you enjoyed it, I don't really care. Because it was a great conversation. And I hope you took something from it. I hope you go away, you know, have a conversation with everyone else. Because philosophy is for everyone. You can engage in these conversations. Comment. No one's gonna laugh at you if you comment. Comment, I'm gonna respond. I wanna talk about it. This is the type of video you can send to your mom, send it to your dad, send it to your siblings, send it to your friends, send it to your teacher. Yeah, your RS teacher, send it to them. Let them understand what we're talking about. Cool. And the last thing I'm going to leave off on is what you're going to do is you're absolutely going to go and follow all of the Instagrams that I put at the beginning. I'm going to now put it at the end. As you can see, it's on the screen. Don't be cheeky, don't air it. Go and follow Tami. Tami is actually also an athletic gal. She makes waist beads. She does hair. Follow her Instagram. Go check out all her other social media platforms and things of that nature. Tami, again, I genuinely appreciate the fact that you came. Like, no. And this question was so perfect for you. I'm gobsmacked. Anyway, lights out, cameras out. I think evil. I want to actually think about it. I want to give a good answer. Because this is actually genuinely why I love my subjects so much.
I love philosophy.
And the thing is, people wouldn't ever think that black women can get on the podcast and just start talking about philosophy.
I love philosophy with my whole heart. But I love it with my whole heart.
That's the point of this podcast. I don't want people to think that there's a specific type of person yeah. that can engage in philosophy. It's not. Anyone can actually talk about philosophy. Everyone has something to say.